Well, hello everyone. This is Joan.
And this is John. Welcome to Ask the Archangels, September the 4th, 2018. We're so happy to have you all back with us, the newbies, the oldies, and the regulars. Of course, now, just for a little background to make sure everybody's on the same page, the Archangels have asked that questions tonight only be about the topic that they have presented and brought to our attention versus personal issues. Again, this is to benefit the entire group. They'd also like the questions to be short and concise so that more of the group will have a chance to ask questions. And that's just, you know, normal etiquette. Of course, this will assist the Archangels to expand on the subject that they have brought to us this evening and feel is very important. So now remember also, when you would like to ask a question, please hit star 6 and the number 1, and that puts you in the queue, and you get brought up in the order that you called in. So I think that's the fairest. Okay. Oh, and by the way, these sessions are recorded and will be put up on our website in a day or two. So now, without any further ado, let's all take a deep breath and help Joan bring forth our guest for this evening.
If everyone will take a deep breath, and as you exhale, let go of the thoughts and events of the day and get very centered in your sacred heart. Let us create a beautiful collective consciousness as we all gather this evening to receive Yeshua. Greetings, dear ones. It is I, Yeshua. I have come this evening to be with you, to answer your questions, and to receive any comments that you might have that would be helpful to everyone that is participating with me in this gathering. I have come this evening to open a discussion further on the divine feminine. In the last couple of sessions, Anna and the collective consciousness of the divine feminine have been very present with you in the discussion, in answering your questions and receiving your comments. I would like to come forth in that balanced iteration that is required of humanity as you ascend into a more fifth-dimensional state of being on a consistent basis in a very stable way. As Anna has discussed with you, the presence of the divine feminine is a very receptive, energetic, brings forth the divine masculine for the energetics to be directed and manifested in a very precise way. So I would like to discuss with you my experience when I was embodied as Yeshua. When I came into public teaching, I came forth and I was supported by many in my community, the Essene community. This particular sector of the Essene community was a very unified expression, and we tried to maintain that divine balance that divine integrity, where there is no division, there is no separation, and especially in the gender perspective of the body. As many of you know, when Earth fell to a third dimensional state of consciousness, which is an energetic of division that is consistently held in stability through fear and ideas of separation, the body was altered substantially after that fall in consciousness, so it could represent that aspect of separation. And there was a distinct gender iteration that was brought forth, and it was built on that separation energetic and division. There was fear of survival, and so it intensified the separation. In our community, when I was embodied, there were many, both male and female, parts of that community. And we operated as equals. Not just equals, but very unified in our purpose, our intention, and our expression. As closely as we possibly could to that divine image iteration. And to do that, we had to value each other for what we brought to the collective of the entirety of humanity. Each of us unique in our expression, but yet undivided. And we express that as near as we possibly could to the perfection of both the divine feminine and masculine aspects of ourself. We honored our intuition, our knowing. We honored our emotions and tried to hold them in the most refined way we possibly could. We valued each other. We loved each other. We supported each other. So this is what I would like to have a conversation about. How that is possible in your state of being at this time. How you can be receptive and open, value each other, value yourself without judgment. Knowing yourself as having both divine feminine and divine masculine parts of yourself, where you are open, you're receptive, you're intuitive, but yet you are very certain, capable, and you direct the cosmic energies of light and unity that are being transmitted in holographic, massive holographic projections that have been bombarding Earth for some time now. How you can receive and then direct with precision and confidence into your life experience. So let us begin. Let us have a discussion, make your comments, ask your questions, so that we can expand on this topic I feel that is a very important topic for and appropriate in these times of change, in these times where you are called forth to create in a more unified and loving expression of yourself.
Our lines are now open, so anybody that has a question, please feel free to join in. Again, star 6 and 1. Here we have our first caller. Hello, you're on with Yeshua.
Hi, Yeshua. How are you? I thank you for speaking with us this evening.
You are very welcome.
I wanted to ask, how can we receive and direct on these huge energies that we have been receiving physically and spiritually and emotionally and use them for our creation and manifestation in a co-creating manner?
Well, it's by observing and feeling, being aware of how the energetics feel in your body, providing mm-hmm. some quiet time for yourself to receive. Open the crown center of your body, that seventh chakra, and allow these energies to come into the body, and then feel how they feel in the body. It's no longer anymore about being outside of the body or being in a state of consciousness where you are observing yourself. This is helpful. However, it's not just in the observance, but it is being in the body, feeling with your inner senses, and that engages that mental emotional body in more of a unified state where you are feeling a higher sense of your emotions.
Yeah.
Where there is a centeredness and there is a feeling of calm and harmony. And when those emotions vary outside of that to where there is any kind of concern, worry, judgment, anger, frustration, anxiety, these mm-hmm. are things that you feel in your body through your emotions. So it's paying attention to that and then observing what is causing those lower iterations of the emotions. Generally, if you are in a state of calm, if you are in a state of you feel harmonious in your body, then your thoughts are aligned with that. It's only when your thoughts are outside of that consciousness that you experience anxiety, that you experience frustration or anxiety.
Right.
So it is, here again, being aware, feeling those emotions within your body.
Right.
It is also within your intention to manifest as closely as possible to that balanced state of being, where there is that calm, where you feel harmonious, and you are very aware, and you direct your thoughts more precisely.
Right.
So it is being in the body, being grounded to Mother Earth, being grounded, but yet being aware, and here again, observing through your senses.
I see what you're saying. And also, just as these energies are coming in, if we, you know, we know we've received them, they are helping us with our awareness and our ability to ground. So even if we fall off and, you know, do become very anxious about something, we can always return to them because they're within us. We've embodied them, correct?
Yes. And do you know the quickest way to get back into that centered state? Is through your breath. Taking a few deep breaths and relaxing and directing your attention into the Sacred Heart consciousness, that beautiful center where your Sacred Heart resides, where the love, the element of love, also resides in your body. So when you take those deep breaths and you relax and you go to that center, then you become calm.
Right.
And you can alter whatever the thought is, and the emotion is almost instantaneously shifted into a more calm expression.
I can definitely feel that. But just even listening to you say it just puts me in that space. So thank you for explaining that so beautifully.
You are most welcome.
Okay.
You're next on with Yeshua. Hello.
Hello. Thank you, Yeshua, for being here with us. This is Gail, and I am asking a question. It's very much what you answered is, I know, part of it, what you just spoke, but this is more in the lines of in creating the balance with the earth, between male and female, between that divine feminine and divine masculine. Could you comment more on the role of women, of those of us who have chosen female bodies in this lifetime, to bring about that balance?
Yes. It is using that openness that is very much a part of the divine feminine. The receptive part. It's an innate part of the psyche of those in a female body. In most cases, it doesn't mean that that is not also part of the complexity of those in a masculine body, in a male body. There are a lot of men who are very open and receptive to change, to various aspects. And it is holding that stable, dense programming of fear at bay. So if you can, I think for women especially, those in female bodies, because of that programming, in trying to right themselves in a more powerful state of being, they try to manifest that in a more aggressive way rather than being assertive and saying, this is not okay with me. It's not about the aggression, but it is voicing, using your voice to voice what is needed. So it's not just about being that open, receptive vehicle, but is in the ability to voice what is appropriate in the moment. And that doesn't mean just being assertive to saying, this is not all right. But it is also being willing to state what you know and the wisdom that you hold. So this, when you stop thinking about yourself from the gendered state of the body, and you start thinking of yourself as a unified expression of the divine, then you engage that masculine part of yourself to where you are assertive. You speak easily about not just your needs, but about the wisdom and the knowledge that you hold, and you direct it when it is appropriate. So neither states, whether you're in a male body or a female body, is it appropriate to express a better than or dominance over any other human, whether they be male or female, but just come together in that unified expression of yourself, in that element of love, compassion, open, receptive, yet using your voice and directing your energies appropriately in the moment. Does that answer your question, or would you like any further explanation?
Oh, you're next on with Yeshua.
Hi, Yeshua. This is a hot topic. I'm finding that, trying to put it in the most simple terms, if we think about the masculine having the straight lines and the edges and the female with the curves and the swirls, I'm finding from a curve and a swirl standpoint that I desire the lines and the edges from other people in my life, from a partnership which doesn't exist for me right now. And it seems to me that we're lacking the lines and the edges that make the structure right now for creations on this earth. And because of that lack, what I'm noticing is we're all just retreating into our own houses. You know, we're alienating ourselves from each other because of the frustration. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. But in that frustration, there is fear that you aren't capable of expressing yourself or creating the boundaries, the limitations that you need as the individual creator by using your voice without fear of retribution or fear of offending someone. When you voice and set boundaries for yourself, because that in the physical world, there has to be structure, although it is not rigid. And it is based in that element of love, which is not just being wishy-washy or saying all is love, that there isn't negativity that is expressed in the physical world, because there most certainly is. And so there has to be a structure to hold that element of love as it is expressed and created by the individual in that more balanced state. So the fear that keeps you withdrawn or hiding or isolating yourself does not change any situation of separation, because the fear, that pattern of fear, is still in existence. So it takes courage, takes tenacity, and it takes feeling your way in certain situations so that you voice appropriately. You voice in kindness. You voice through knowledge, through wisdom, and not through judgment or harshness. But that you're very concise in what you voice. So it's in the willingness, summoning the courage and the willingness to voice so that the structure is created. It's not so much about the straight line and edges and the swirls, because there is a place for both, where it is unified, where you have a structure that is fluid but not rigid, and then you also have the creativity, the intuition, and that's about being unified within the body and not being rigid so that you only acknowledge, well, I'm in a male body, so I only have masculine qualities, because you develop a more conscious awareness of self when you recognize that you have feelings, that you have intuition, that you are open and receptive to new ideas, and vice versa for those in female bodies. You cannot say, oh, I am just pure female. You can't navigate life in just being open and receptive and passive. You have to direct. You have to create. And that takes a unified expression of your divinity.
And so as we operate, I mean, I would think that most of us on the call are operating in a world of people that don't even know that the fifth dimension has come in to existence. But all that we can do is, as individuals, tap into the balance of masculine and feminine. That's really all that we can do. Is that also what you're saying?
Of course. You be that example. You're not called upon to do other than that. Because many who aren't even aware of what fifth dimension is or what unity is, it would fall on deaf ears. But being that in your life expression and being willing to voice what is appropriate in the moment, in kindness and love and compassion, that it's not in what you say, but in what you do and who you are. And it's a very subtle marriage that then is transmitted energetically from your energetic auric field to theirs. And it's very easy for them to receive, because it is given in that state of love and compassion. And in that alone, it becomes a very receptive pathway for them to observe, receive, and think about. Because you're modeling it.
Right. I understand. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome.
Hello. You're next on with Yeshua.
Hi. Good evening, Yeshua. It's Cindy. How are you this evening?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Good. Thank you for being with us. I have been guided the last few months to do a daily meditation, which has toning and movement to bring in the divine feminine energy and through myself to anchor it in Gaia and into the collective. And I'm wondering if this is helping to balance, like, is the divine feminine becoming more balanced on the planet It feels like it is to me.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Because I don't see or feel any need to do anything additional to sort of balance the divine masculine. I understand what everybody's been talking about, what your advice in regards to, you know, our energetics and how we present ourselves. But I just wanted to check on that because it's been several months. I've been doing it every day. And is this something that is beneficial, and should it be, should I keep doing it, or should we as women or people keep doing this?
Yes, and I would encourage those in masculine bodies to try what you have exemplified, because they have that part of themselves available to them. The beauty of that is there is a marriage in that movement, in the swaying of the body. There is a very important aspect of toning or singing or voicing in some way, because you are creating a sound current that is very directed into the energetics. And that's a masculine iteration. As the body sways, and with your intention and your receptivity to your own feminine aspects, you are marrying the divine masculine and feminine in that action and in that meditation. And you get in touch with that in a very subtle way in your body as you activate that meditation in that way. Doesn't mean that if you don't feel comfortable in dancing, but just to sit and sway the body as you tone or you sing. It is a grand way to begin to alert the body to that balance within it.
Very good. Thank you.
Another point here I would like to make is that, yes, there is now becoming more of a balance. When there is no trauma, or there is no anger, anxiety, out of alignment, energetics, chaos, that divine feminine is being expressed totally different than it was several years ago of your time, when you had this great influx where a lot of souls who were embodied in female bodies thought they had to be more masculine in their expression, more aggressive. And they found very quickly that that didn't resonate with their soul energy. Your soul can never be defined by the masculine or the feminine. It just is the divine aspect of you. And there are both aspects within that soul iteration. So this is something for you to consider, too. And unfortunately, the programming in your view of God, of the source of your being, has been so programmed for thousands of years of your time as a masculine iteration, when in fact, there is no masculine or feminine within the divine. It is a complete creative, energetic resource where it works as a unit to create precisely what is needed. So this is something to also consider that as you embrace the divine, that part of your soul that is divine, all of that division of masculine, feminine falls away, and there is just one unified, grand, creative expression that is engaged.
Okay, you're next up with Yeshua. Hello.
Hi. Good evening, Yeshua.
Good evening.
Hope that they find you very, very blessed. I have a question. Just thinking of something that you mentioned from your last statement. I've often read and heard reference to the galactic sun, source, creator, Mother, Father, God, One, and I'm a little confused, and perhaps others are as well, as to what they actually refer to. Is it one individual thing, or is it more than one? When I'm praying, I don't know who I should be praying to. I mean, typically I grew up praying to God, but I'm not sure what it means. I wondered if you could explain that to me.
Well, it's very difficult for the human in a body at this time and in the way in which the neurology of the brain is configured to process thought of that magnitude. But if you can drop the mother, father, God, because that in itself creates division. And
okay.
God, or source, actually source, the source of all that is what you are praying to, is what you are opening your energetic field to the influx of that light and that love of source, which in itself is very creative. It's not
okay.
about, when you pray, it's not about petitioning, but it is opening all parts of yourself to the influence of that divine energetic of light and love, unity, grace, creative energy that then allows you to create in form according to your individuality that is directed under the auspices of your soul spirit, which is in itself an expression of source energy.
Okay.
So I just
need to refer to source then.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can refer to God, but it is not Mother, Father, God. That's separation. That it is
okay.
just this massive, energetic, creative force that has no limit to its expression. And you are part of that. You are unified with it. So when you pray or you sit in silence, you open every part of your body, your soul, your mind, to that influence.
Great. So, just a short question. I'm reading a book right now called The Jesus Book, and apparently it's a channeling by you. It was channeled by Linda Dillon, and it was you. So in it you refer to the mother. Is the mother the source? Would the mother be the source, do you think, or... I'm
it's
just a little
creative.
Confused.
Yes, the mother is the creative aspect of source.
Okay.
But in the world of form, in the world of Earth and humanity, that your languaging is third dimensional, which is built in separation. And
okay.
It, so the mother energy is that creative source energy.
Oh,
but it
okay.
is also is that, but it is there is a presence of the father aspect that has precision and directness in its manifested state.
Okay. All right. Well, that helps explain that. At least now I know how to pray, because I didn't know what to say before. Because there were too many words out there, you know, and
yeah,
so, okay.
And like, and the languaging itself, because you have moved out of third dimension, you
yes.
have navigated through fourth dimension, and you are now entering into that fifth dimension of unity. So you have not yet, humanity has not yet created a languaging to represent that state of consciousness.
Okay, that's awesome.
So
wonderful.
My suggestion is, when you pray, just sit and open every part of you and be receptive to receive the energy of the source of you and of all that is. Take it
okay.
in, breathe it in, and allow it to manifest in you as you create on Earth.
I will do that. Thank you so much. That clarifies so much with me.
You
blessings,
are very
stupid.
Welcome.
Blessings,
beloved. Blessings.
Hello, you're next on with Yeshua.
Good evening, and thank you so much, Yeshua, for being here with us. I'm so honored that you came tonight. And following up to your previous comments, then, when you're talking about languaging and that we haven't created a language to match the beginnings of this fifth dimension, then the thought came to me that that is why there's no conversation. It's our presence and it's our actions that will convey this until the languaging is created. Is that correct?
That is correct. You are that energetic transmission through your body and through your energetic field.
Will there be a need for a language? For the fifth dimension.
For a while, there will be a need, but eventually it will be all transmitted through holographic projections and through thought projections that will be received and returned in kind.
Wow, that just opens so many more vistas and questions about languaging and holographics, and I guess that's what I feel the disruption with the languaging that goes on, that I'm still in the languaging, and I feel the disruption of it.
Well, and it's not an adequate vehicle to express that love and unity and creativeness. And for many who are not awake yet, they are still in that limited state of consciousness. So
right.
there is no way for you to communicate to them other than energetically. And they will receive what they can receive by your energetic field and by what you model in calmness and harmony. And yes, you will have to speak. You will have to voice. And the beauty of voicing is that it carries that energetic on a sound current that is unknown to them, but yet is a very subtle way for them to receive beyond the language that you are speaking.
Thank you. Very excellent. Thank you. Blessings. And again, I'm so honored that you came tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, you're next on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua.
Hello.
I have a question about our physical bodies. I know it's been asked or talked about many times, but as specifically we are balancing the divine feminine and masculine energies, how can we assist our bodies with that and adapting to that and handling the increased energy that's trying to come in?
Well, the first thing is, here again, we talked about being open and receptive to the energy and directing it into various parts of your body. When you direct it, it's not about influxing it with massive volumes, but taking it into the body in increments that the body can receive. Allow the body to rest. Love your body. It's not about, oh, I wish my nose was smaller, or my legs were longer, or I didn't have this pooch in my belly. That is not, it's a judgment of the body, where the body isn't honored for its physicalness and for its ability to navigate in the physical world. It's about loving that body for that serves you well. And when there is any disruption in the body, that you direct what you are receiving through your crown in love to that area of the body, that love, that healing energy that love provides, to that part of the body, to raise it up so the body can heal itself. So there is a full gamut of things that you have to be aware of. Open, receptive, directing the love energies, the creative energies, in a balanced way into the body with precision in ways that the body is ready to receive it. And when it's too much, the body will let you know. It will be tired. You will feel the need to rest. Then rest. And be aware when the body needs a little assistance for you to direct that energy to certain parts of the body to help it along a little. And most of all, to value the body instead of judge it. It's not in the beauty of the physicalness of the body, but the beauty of that physical vehicle to hold your divine essence, that soul, your divinity, the soul expression. It is a glorious, beautiful physical expression. And when you honor that with your thoughts, and you honor it through your emotions, this is the most valuable thing that you can do for your body in these times of change and escalation of the energy. Because when you do that, it uplifts the body and enables the body to hold those more refined frequencies.
Thank you so much. That's exactly what
you
I
are. Very welcome.
You know, there's a little lull right now, and there is a question that was sent in, and it was from a fella, and I'll try to paraphrase because it's quite long. But basically what he's saying is that he has been observing for most of his lifetime the domination of the world religions by the males and how unequal it is as far as the feminine masculine way it should be balanced. And as men tend to be, he said, you know, we're creatures of action, and other than just representing that in our own private lives, is there anything else we can do to help move this along that you could suggest?
Well, it's in also valuing within yourself that you have those parts of you that are open, receptive, and intuitive. Honoring that part of yourself, engaging it often, but also understanding and discerning when action is appropriate or if it is more appropriate just to be and be open to change or to be open to a different course of action that may take place in the then or may be used at another moment, and discerning whether it serves the highest good of those involved, yourself as well as those that you are interacting with, whether that specific action serves the whole or that relationship. You see?
Oh, I'm sure he does. He did. His last sentence was, though, I'd really like to write an open letter to the Pope, but I feel like it would fall on deaf ears. And that, obviously, this is how passionate he feels about it.
Well, he should write that letter. Now, whether it's received and acted upon is another question, but it doesn't negate that it might stimulate a different thought.
Mm. Thank you. Yeah. We have another caller, so here we go. You're on with our wonderful guest, Yeshua, this evening. Hello.
Hello, Yeshua. This is Susie.
Hello, Susie.
Hello. Again, you were mentioning how it would be beneficial, of course.
Susie, unfortunately, no. The transmission is very garbled.
Can you hear me now?
It, unfortunately, it's distorted. It's not a matter of volume, but it's just kind of distorted. Could you let's just hang up and call back in? And that would probably help because we would really like to. Hello.
Can you hear me there?
Oh, yes, perfect.
Okay, great. I have to speak for a minute while I ask my question.
Sure.
So we were asked to stay out of. We've been asked to stay out of judgment and to be observant. And we've been working on observing ourselves when we are coming from a place of better than or less than. And seems to me that there's a fine line between when we're observing something and when we're judging it. As in, say we're observing not only how we interact with people, but how other people interact so that we can mirror off and see how we're responding to that. And if we're looking at someone else and we're seeing them as being less than of high integrity or coming from a place of better than or superior, are we judging or are we observing?
You are judging if you make them less than so that you can feel superior. If you make them ignorant. But if there is no emotion or good or bad attached to it, to just observing their state of consciousness, then there is no need to act upon that, but just to notice. And you can then shift your awareness to other things. And you are not, there's no trigger point to where you are reactive or you feel a need to right a wrong. Do you see the difference?
Yes, I do. Thank you. That was
in a neutral, a very neutral state where your emotions are concerned.
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome. That was a good question because that does concern a lot of people.
Hello, you're next on with Yeshua. Hello, you're next on with Yeshua.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute.
That's okay.
I was thinking about Yeshua's answer to my question about the lines and the angles, and it makes me curious about the millennials, the change that I think that we're noticing in them. They seem to be naturally embodying this masculine feminine already, which, you know, if the millennials are kind of in that 30-year-old age group, and then we're talking about people in our 40s, 50s, and 60s where it's just more confusing, it seems like the millennials have it more down than we do. I wondered about that.
That would be accurate because they come in, they're bodies, even though they come into a denser form, they come in a more refined state of consciousness. And they require a more fluid environment from which to create. They have a hard time with the hard, rigid structure. They have to have a little fluidity and movement within their environment in which to create adequately the perfect reflection of what they came to bring in this particular embodiment. And yes, you are very right. You're very accurate in your observance.
Mm-hmm. And so those of us who didn't come in with that sort of fluidity of understanding naturally within us, I mean, should we look to these millennials? Should we look backwards and look at them as more of a role model?
Understand, beloved, when you came into this embodiment, you came in that perfect imaging. But it is through teaching, programming, experience that you became very rigid in the way in which you were taught to create your life experience. So yes, to look at how they are manifesting in their life. But you have the tools and you have the awareness now that there has to be a merging of all aspects of yourself in a more fluid expression where it's neither the rigidity of structure nor such a fluid expression where you can't direct those energetics into an accurate manifestation. So there's a balance that you're learning to have to achieve in this new environment of these new energetics. And yes, to some extent, it's not a perfected image that these millennials are providing to you, but they are providing you a very important aspect of that fluidity that they are demanding in their environment from which they create their life experience. Understand, that's their life experience, not yours. But they can model to you something that you can use in your experience.
Yes. Boy, there's a lot of aspects to this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a hot topic. Thank you very much for that clarification. I appreciate being able to call back in. Thank you.
You are very welcome. You know, humans, as humans, you are very complex beings of light. You would have to be a Christed being of light. So there are many complexities to you, complexities in your mind, in your emotions, in your spiritual body, in the whole neurology of your body. The beautiful expression of the human form is such a complexity of cells and molecules and energetics. So yes, you are a very complex being. You would have to be that image of the divine. That is a massive energetic.
Okay, here's our next caller. Caller, you're on with Yeshua. Hello.
Hi. Hello, it's Cindy again. I have a question that's a little off topic, and I hope it's okay to ask it. There's a bit of a lull, so I'm going to ask it. It's in regards to, well, I just find myself as I'm growing spiritually and evolving, becoming very much more appreciative of nature. I always have been, but it's just really off the charts right now. And I know a lot of people that are like this. It's like I just want to be in nature and appreciate, you know, whatever, the trees, the birds, the water, everything. And there's one thing that I notice about a lot of people is that are around water is the sound of the loon. I mean, everybody appreciates bird sounds. Mm-hmm. Bird calls, the sounds of nature in general. Hello?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay. So the sound of a loon, so many people, when the loon calls, they just stop what they're doing, including myself, and listen to it. It just seems like it penetrates and goes right to the soul. And I wondered, is there something, what is it? There's something there. And I always just wonder, like, what is this? Because it's so eerie. It just seems to touch your soul. Is there something special about it?
There is something special about nature in general. But in that particular experience, there is a memory that you have at a soul level of that divine essence that is carried on the note of a sound current, and it helps you reconnect at that soul level to your own divinity. It's quite beautiful.
Oh, very beautiful.
And in the expression of nature, of the beauty of the earth. There is nothing like it in your universe than the beauty of earth. It represents the divine creation at work. But the other thing, it holds creative elements of fire and water and air and earth energies that then you take in that appreciation and in that, when you are in nature, appreciating and being in gratitude, you are able to use those elemental creative energies and you match them with that element of love, which is the fifth element. And it's a very powerful creative resource. You take all of that into the body and it helps you create more of your expression in your unique divine way. So it is a wonderful practice to be in nature and to honor the elements of nature and to be in the gratitude of that beauty, because you then are able to see the beauty of you in your body, in your divine expression.
It's definitely a beautiful thing and so nourishing. I just find it, I can't even express it, really, honestly. It's just so, so beautiful. And I notice, you know, as people do evolve, are evolving and growing spiritually, they're drawn more and more to nature, it seems.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It provides that quiet, beautiful space to see the divine at work in nature and within yourself.
Yeah.
There were many, many times I withdrew and went into the desert where I found such beauty in the expression, in the nature of the desert, to replenish myself, my spirit. And then I would go back into my day-to-day life. But it was a very important practice that I developed as a very young boy, to replenish my physical spirit in the midst of the beauty of nature. So wonderful for you for noticing.
Thank you for that, Yeshua. Thank you.
Well, beloveds, this has been a most productive conversation. And I want to thank you all for your questions and your comments and your expression of what you experience in your life. So it is in that communication that we are able to create together, that much is learned and much is opened up for more creation. I am so honored to be received. I hold you in great reverence for the path that you have chosen. I feel we have met this evening heart to heart and soul to soul with purpose and intention. So we will now close our gathering. Blessings, beloveds. Blessings.